Oh, what a great time of worship thus far. I really appreciate the good choice of songs. Very much ties in with the message this morning. And just very encouraging. Just nice to have a good time of worship and song. If you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 25 to 34. And if you don't, that's fine. If you just prefer to just follow along on the screen, that's all good. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day is its own trouble. All men are as grass, and their glory is the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever." Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your holy and inerrant word, and we know that it is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, you know our hearts. You know everything about us even better than we know ourselves. You know what we stand in need of. And I just pray, Father, that you would give to each one what they're lacking, that you would teach us all what we need to know, that you would work in our hearts and help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would work in great, great power in conjunction with your word. Help us right now to just set aside the cares of the world and to focus upon what you would have for us. Bless us now, Father, and we ask that the name of Jesus would be magnified and glorified. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. Well, Jay Adams tells the funny story of a man named Joe who was particularly given to worry. And whenever anyone saw him, his face was drawn and downcast, for he seemingly carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. On one particular occasion, however, Joe was the picture of optimism. He was radiant, he was buoyant. Everyone noticed the change. Finally, Bill asked him what happened to him. "Well," he confided, "as you know, I've always been one to worry. I've decided that this is both unwise and unhealthy, so I have hired someone to do my worrying for me." "But how much does this cost you?" Bill questioned. "Oh, about $1,000 a week," Joe replied. "But how can you afford to pay him?" was the astonished response. Joe answered calmly, "That's his worry." Okay, and you know, I think all of us know that worry is not good for us. Worry is actually sin because it shows a mistrust in God, a mistrust in him being able to take care of us, provide for us, know what's best for us, all of those things. And, you know, last week we looked at verses 19 through 24. And again, remember, this is all part of a larger sermon that Jesus gave called the Sermon on the Mount. which began in chapter 5 and continues right through chapter 7. And in last week's passage, if you remember, Jesus addressed materialism. And remember, materialism is not just a problem for those who have a lot of wealth, those who have a lot of money. It's also sometimes a problem for maybe not having enough money and thinking too much about that, or thinking too much about what we don't have. And, you know, a lot of the religious people during Jesus' day, they thought a lot about wealth, and they were kind of preoccupied with those things. And as Jesus taught last week, the more that we are attached to the things of this world, the more detached we're going to be from God. And so we had that warning and encouragement that Jesus gave last week of not to store up treasures here on earth, but encouraged us to store up those heavenly treasures where, you know, moth can't eat away at it, thieves can't break in and steal, can't rust away. And, you know, we were to focus on and are to focus upon eternal things, things that last, things that can't be taken away. And in today's passage, Jesus kind of goes from beyond just the materialism and greed and selfishness to worrying about not having enough material things, and even being worried about such things as our life expectancy. And, you know, most of us, I would say, you know, I know I'm certainly in this camp, you know, worry about losing material things, or maybe worry about the day when there's, you know, not going to be enough. And you know, sometimes it goes way beyond our needs, and there's kind of this worry about maybe keeping up with the Joneses, or kind of worrying about what our social standing's going to be like if the, you know, the money's not there. And, you know, and I think a lot of us, too, worry too much about our health. And, you know, again, when we think about worry, when we think about being anxious, that's like the polar opposite of faith, of trust, of contentment. And so Jesus is really going to focus on this area of not being anxious. So let's take a closer look at this passage beginning in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, again, Jesus had just addressed materialism, and now, you know, he says, therefore. And so, in other words, in light of everything he talked about storing up those treasures in heaven, not storing them up here on this earth, because we can't serve God money. Remember, that was part of last week. So he's saying, therefore, you know, don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about your body. What you will put on. And I like what Art and R.T. France said about this too, about this verse 25. He says, the objects of our anxiety, the food, drink, and clothing, are to be seen as less important than the life and the body which they supply. And subsequent verses will draw out the moral that since God provides the latter, he can be trusted for the former. In other words, okay, one of the things that worry often does is it kind of distorts what's really important. And, you know, obviously the body is more important than the food that supplies it. But when we start worrying about the little things, we need to think for a minute. And as we go through this passage, well, you know, God takes care of our lives and all the big things. So, you know, why worry about the little things? And again, I think things get out of balance as to what is really important when we worry. And we should really learn to be thankful when we have enough to eat, to live on, and those types of things. And even when we do have, good health, to just be thankful for that, because that's such an important thing. And I know some of you, you know, really have had some devastating things that you're dealing with now and will continue to deal with. So again, I think worrying about the things like the food, the clothing, and those things helps us to, it makes us focus on the wrong things and, again, distorts what's really important. And I think there's always this aspect, and I can't help but, when I was thinking about this passage, think about Tina and how debilitating her disease has been. One of the things she often says to me when I just, I know how hard things are, it's just, there's people worse off than me. And that is a great perspective. Even, as devastating as the things she's dealing with, she's still able to think about people that may be going through even worse things, maybe. And it reminded me, too, of, I don't know who this is original to, but I've seen it written or said, I felt sorry for myself when I had no shoes until I saw somebody with no feet. Okay, and I think that can sometimes help us to just get things in perspective and help us to even be thankful even during the difficult times, because that's part of how we're going to honor God. That's how we're going to glorify Him, is when the chips are down. Maybe some things have been taken away, like health, or maybe a job, or maybe the income, and different things like that. We can honor God in that and try to keep the focus on the things that are really important, the eternal things, the things that aren't going to, perish in the end. Okay. All right, so let's look at this as, again, Jesus is giving this warning to not be anxious. Okay? And he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, you can just picture when Jesus is giving this sermon, there could have actually been, some birds flying by where he's actually saying, look at the birds of the air. And he's pointing out, they don't sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And, birds and all creatures get their life from God. Like in Scripture, it says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Now, one of the things that this is not a warning against, it's not a warning against, working hard. It's against the anxiety. And, because, even birds, they do spend time working and working hard at searching for food, hunting for food. But they don't worry about the stockpiling of food or, worrying where the next meal is going to come from. Okay? And what Jesus points out, kind of this argument from the lesser to the greater, he says, are you not of more value than they? And, it's like an obvious answer. Of course we're more valuable. Birds are not created in the image of God. They are not going to be joint heirs with Christ and for eternity. And God still takes care of them. And so this is something we need to think about. God takes care of even the birds. How much more we've been brought into this relationship with our Heavenly Father. We've been adopted into His family. We're His child. He's our Father. We focus on that relationship. And He's taking good care of us. Jesus also said every hair in our head is numbered. He knows everything about us. And He's going to care for us today and tomorrow, just like He always has. He's always been faithful, even before our life began. All right, verse 27. He says, and Jesus says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Now, this area has to do with worrying about our life expectancy. And, one of the things I would say in our culture is it is just totally obsessed with extending one's life. And, we need to understand, God has set the boundaries of our lives for the length of our lives as well as where we'd be born. And the gift of life, no matter how long or short that may be, is to be used for His purposes. for eternal purposes and not for earthly ones. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, is, you know, you think about anxiety and worry. You know, is that going to really add any time to our lives? Well, certainly not. But I would also say that, you know, you look at different studies and, you know, people that worry a lot, a lot of times that's associated with certain health things, maybe high blood pressure. You know, and that is not always, but, you know, certain types of heart problems are sometimes associated. They say even the stress and worry may be related to other diseases as well. So certainly by worrying, we're not going to be extending our lives at all. And that's something for us to think about there. All right, verses 28 and 29. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, when he's dealing with these couple verses about, you know, telling people not to worry about their clothing, he's addressing people that, you know, having a couple sets of garments was a really big thing. And while we've got, you know, I'm always just, it seems like we're going through, you know, at our house, clothes we don't need because, you know, we got, you know, so many clothes and so many choices. It's sometimes hard for us to relate to this in how people thought about clothing, but clothes weren't as common back then. And quite often people just had like maybe one or two sets of garments. Usually it was two, you know. And, you know, so this was a big deal for them. And back then, wealth was associated with having a number of sets of clothes. And, you know, he also points out in this verse, you know, about Solomon in all his glory. And believe me, there was none that exceeded Solomon as king in the riches and the splendor of his kingdom. And I'm sure, you know, part of the splendor of Solomon's kingdom would have been, you know, the way he dressed. And it must have been really something. And yet Jesus says, well, you know, the lilies of the field, when they grow, you know, Solomon in all his glory or splendor, he wasn't even arrayed like the lilies of the field. And then continuing with this on verse 30, again with the thinking of, on the clothes, and he points out, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, one of the reasons why, you know, Jesus is pointing this out about the grass of the field, then he says, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. One of the things when people were baking bread, they used to have these clay ovens, and you throw some grass in there, you know, that would get the fire going really quick. And the point is, it's very short-lived. It's, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, short-lived, burn up. Grass is short-lived, and yet we are headed for eternity. And again, Jesus contrasting, you know, how much more is God going to take care of us? And then notice, too, he says, oh, you of little faith. And, you know, there's these things that Jesus mentions here, and not just in this passage, but whenever we worry about things like food, we worry about clothing, we worry about our lifespan and things like that, that's Jesus says we're showing that we only have little faith. Because a greater faith wouldn't worry about those things and wouldn't have all that anxiety. And what happens is, you know, when we worry about these things, it shows that we really don't have the faith to believe that God's going to take care of us. And again, it's the opposite of faith. And trust in God is worrying, is being anxious about things. All right, verses 31-32. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And so when Jesus is pointing out, you know, this is what the Gentiles seek after, that's like saying this is what the unsaved people, this is what the people that aren't a covenant people with God worry about. This is where their focus is. They're all consumed with thinking about these things, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we have, the material things of this world. And he's saying, don't be like that. And one of the ways that we will stand out in this world and to be a light and a salt as Christians is if we're not worried about these things. And even when things maybe get difficult, to just believe, well, you know, God's always taken care of me. I know he's going to continue to take care of me. I just need to focus on the important things. Focus upon his kingdom, his righteousness, as we're going to see here in this next verse. Okay. And you know, kind of going back to that other verse, verses 31 and 32 for just a moment. You know, we do need to trust God to provide us with everything that we need to carry out his purposes. Yet, you know, I fear, and I do see it in my own life, you know, we get anxious, and I get anxious, not just over things that I need, but a lot of times it's over, way over and above that, things that maybe I just want or think I ought to have and things like that. And it kind of goes way beyond needs. Where, you know, we see Jesus here really talking about, you know, things that are needed. Clothes, food, you know, those types of things. And so, again, I think it's because, you know, most of us in this country have had it really, really good. We've had it very easy. And so we worry about sometimes losing these comforts and kind of the life of ease and, you know, things just going very smoothly and not really knowing what it's like to really want and to need certain things and to maybe really be lacking for a while in some of those things. Okay, but here on the positive, this is what Jesus tells us to focus on, what we're to really be seeking, not to, you know, seek what the Gentiles seek, or the unsaved, to be different, be a light, be a salt. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, seeking his kingdom here may be referring to seeking his rule in the lives of people and wanting to be a part of furthering his kingdom in the lives of others. And when we're seeking his kingdom, now, first of all, we're going to be blessed spiritually. And then, you know, God's going to take care of the things that we need. We don't need to worry about that. And when we're seeking his righteousness, as he says here, this is not like seeking a righteousness where we try to justify ourselves. You know, seeking his righteousness is seeking doing his will, being about the things that are a priority to God, which ought to be a priority to us. Okay, and it's namely focusing on, you know, the eternal things and not so much on the temporal, the material, and all of those things. So, again, not seeking justification because we're justified only through faith alone and Christ alone. It's by grace alone. So we're not attempting to justify ourselves, but we're just seeking to be in his will and to follow him and to have the right priorities. Put God first. In other words, and he'll take care of the rest. Okay. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, a lot of times I think people take verses like this and kind of run with it in a bad direction. This doesn't mean that, you know, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that, you know, then we're going to be wealthy. But it does mean God's going to take care of us and the things that we need. He'll take care of us again tomorrow, just like he did today. And, you know, being afraid and anxious about these things, it's just not compatible with a good understanding not only of who God is, but what our relationship with him is now because we've been brought into his family because of all that Christ accomplished. I love this verse. I actually love this whole section, Romans chapter 8. But in Romans 8, verse 32, says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" You know, our future, it's secure. And we just need to continue to trust him and to understand that he wants what's best for us. And sometimes, you know, what's best for us isn't having too much of an overabundance of things. Sometimes we tend to, you know, if we own too much, those things sometimes tend to own us. And so it can sometimes be a problem. Verse 34, last verse of this section. "Therefore," you know, kind of wrapping it up, "do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In other words, you know, each day there's going to be certain difficulties. We don't need to add to that by worrying about things. And, you know, God gives us grace each day that we need. He doesn't give us grace today that's for tomorrow. He gives us what we need each and every day. And he provides for us what's needed each and every day. And we're not to worry about those things. You know, we don't even know how. Yeah, I think maybe it's the younger we are sometimes, but I still do it even at my age. We get always thinking that we've got more time, and so we're always worried about the future, and there's that assumption almost in our mind that we're going to be here tomorrow and the next week and the next year and the year after that. We don't know. We need to really, I think, step back and take it one day at a time and not be anxious about the future, not be anxious about how long we may or may not live, but to let me just get right into the application of all this as we kind of try to tie maybe a few of these things together in some practical ways. You know, some people worry about, and they worry so far into the future. Some people worry about, you know, what's going to happen to them when they're 80, when they're 90. And they think, well, what if I live until I'm 90? Am I going to have like enough money and stuff to, you know, and there's that one commercial that talks about, throws out that fear, what if you outlive your money and things like that. And again, instead of thinking and worrying about whether we're going to have enough money when we're 80, 90 years old, we ought to be thinking, what if I die before I've had a chance to really draw close to Christ? What if I die before I've had an opportunity to really be generous and sacrificial to other people? That's really how we ought to be thinking. And yet, you know, fear will cause us to think too much about the future, not live for the present. And I'm talking about live for the present, in other words, making the most of each day and trying to honor God. And fear will cause us to cling really tightly to material things. It'll cause us not to be generous with other people. It'll cause us not to take the kind of risk maybe God's called us to. And the thing is, I think just like our culture is consumed with trying to extend life as far as we can, our culture is also consumed with safety. I'm talking about safety and security and everything, financially and otherwise. I like what Francis Chan had shared in his book, Crazy Love. He said, "We've elevated safety to the neglect of whatever God's best is, whatever would bring God the most glory, or whatever would accomplish his purposes in our lives and in the world." And, you know, if somebody is really obsessed with Jesus, and actually that was written from a chapter that talked about, you know, people being obsessed with Jesus. You know, people that really are focused upon the Lord aren't consumed with their personal safety. They aren't consumed with their own personal comfort and those types of things. But they're really willing to do what it is God would have them to do, and you know, and obviously not fearing, because you know the hard times, difficult things, then maybe ways in which God would have us to really honor Him. Seek ye first the kingdoms of this world and safety and comfort. No, that's not what it says, is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And, you know, this is where fear and worry often come in, is too much of a focus on the here and now, too much of a focus on the temporal things, on the material things. And, you know, when we trust in God's care and provision, we're not going to be so worried about those things or even worried about our lives. And this whole thing requires faith. Because, you know, what did Jesus say? When you worry about the clothes, you worry about the food, you worry about all these material things, you worry about your life expectancy, it says, oh, you of little faith. It's not trusting in the fact that God is good, the fact that God cares for His people, the fact that God will give us exactly what we need to accomplish His will here in this life, and to carry out His purposes. And this isn't just with older people worrying. This is sometimes a younger person maybe that worries about college and, you know, how am I going to go to college? How am I going to afford this and that? Well, listen, God will take care of whatever it is you need to accomplish His will. And the focus needs to be upon, you know, as He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, following His will, walking in that, He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of the rest. We just don't need to worry about these things. And so, you know, in closing, I want us to just think for a moment, what would life be like if we didn't worry so much? If we just got rid of the anxiety, we just focused on seeking His kingdom, seeking, trying to be in His will, trying to focus upon not just ourselves, our own comfort, our own safety, but focus upon the lives of others. And maybe the risks that even God would have us to take. And just try to imagine even what it would be like if there was just this focus upon other people's souls, drawing close to God, and focusing even upon our own souls, and drawing closer to God than focusing upon what this world has to offer. Let's pray. Oh, Father, first of all, forgive me for all of my unnecessary worry, unnecessary anxiety about material things, about Your provision. Oh, Lord, forgive me for all those anxious thoughts, and just let my mind sometimes be just so thinking about those things. Help us, Father, to be free from anxious thinking and worry and doubt. Pray, Father, that You would increase our faith to where we would just be confident that You're going to take care of us. Help us to also have great confidence that we don't need to be stockpiling. We don't need to be so concerned about that day when we may or may not reach 80, 90 years old. But to do with everything, with our lives, with our time, with our resources, whatever it is You would call us to do, and we would not cling so tightly to those things because we fear, and we want to feel secure in those things that are fleeting and that cannot deliver. Oh, Father, help us to have a better perspective. Help us, Father, to have our hearts and minds set upon that which is really important. Help us, Father, to remember that whatever You call us to do, that we would always think about what your Son has done for us in all that He gave and how He left heaven's glory and became a man and lived a perfect, sinless life and ultimately freely gave that life so that we could live, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so we could be brought into Your family and reconciled to You. Oh, Father, help us to live in light of these truths. May the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that we've looked at this morning affect change in our lives, even in our perspective, and help us, Lord, as we have any anxious thoughts, to just confess that, to turn to You, to look to You to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith, and to live a life as You intended, to be free of worry, to be free of anxiety. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.